And the Lord said, let there be crap.
What's with all the crap?
It's not crap.
It's crappin' fist.
I can't believe it only comes 52 times a year.
Crap from the past. Crap from the past. Crap from the past.
Stop! It's hammer time!
Funk, rock, Peter Gabriel singing in German, soul, old school rap, Abba singing in Spanish, glam, hair metal, Milli Vanilli singing in English, and of course, disco.
Disco is the pop music of tomorrow.
It's all pop, and it's only on Crap from the Past.
Shake your booty, shake your groove thing, shake your rump to the funk.
There's a lot of crap on the radio, but there's only one Crap from the Past.
It's craptacular.
Worldwide at crapfromthepast.com, and Friday nights at 10:30 on
KFAI. I know you're gonna dig this.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul. Radio without boundaries, online at KFAI.org and crapfromthepast.com. Hi, I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. Welcome to Crap from the Past. This show is like a graduate level course in pop music. We're all about the pop. You like the pop, you're going to like the next 90 minutes. Oh boy, are you going to like the next 90 minutes. If you haven't heard, Thomas Dolby is coming to town. Thomas Dolby, the very same guy who gave us She Blinded Me with Science in 1983. Brilliant pop artist. In my little collection, he's nestled between Dr. Hook and Joe Dolce. And Dr. Hook was recording on Capitol. Joe Dolce was on MCA. And oddly enough, Thomas Dolby recorded for both of those labels at one point. He will be coming to town, to Minneapolis, St. Paul on Sunday, May 21st, to Station 4. That's a club in St. Paul. And it's fantastic. I called up Thomas Dolby's management and said, can I talk to him? Will he do a phone interview with us? And they said yes. And I said, fantastic. And this past Monday, 4 days ago, I was able to speak to Thomas Dolby for about a half hour. He was gracious enough to devote some time to me in the middle of his really hectic, busy schedule. He was in Chicago, somewhere in Chicago, and gave me a half hour. So what you're going to hear over the next 90 minutes is that half hour sprinkled over the entire show. God bless you, Thomas Dolby. And we'll start off with what you would have heard in 1983 if you were listening to Top 40 Radio like me. This is Casey Kasem and the year-end countdown from the end of 1983.
I'm Casey Kasem, this is AT40, and we're on our way to the number one song of the year. At number 37, here's the song by the Englishman born in Cairo. That's where his family was 24 years ago. His father, an archaeologist, was digging around Egypt at the time. Here's Thomas Dolby and She Blinded Me with Science. She Blinded Me with Science, the first chart hit for Englishman Thomas Dolby, and that's the 37th biggest hit of 1983. I'm Casey Kasem, counting down the hits that became history during the year gone by. Up next, a song that pays tribute to the music of legendary American songwriter Cole Porter.
Casey's Coast to Coast.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
Can we play more records tomorrow?
Yes.
On Crap from the Past.
This is a community-run station, and I don't know what kind of radio people you've been talking to over the last month or so, but we're run entirely by volunteers, and the people who have shows here care a lot about the particular format or genre they're playing. So I do pop. I do serious pop. So to my audience, you're not a one-hit wonder. Taco is a one-hit wonder. You're a serious pop artist who just happened to have a fluke hit that made a little bit of money for you and allowed you the credibility to do whatever you wanted for the next 20 years, and I think that's pretty remarkable. So my audience and I, we both big fans of yours for since She Blinded Me with Science broke here in the States.
Well, that's so great. I mean, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, but on the whole, I think it's good that people, you know, had this introduction to me via a big mainstream hit, and then those that were able to got into the more serious side to my music, which is, anything but extroverted. It's sort of, you know, quite often very introspective and atmospheric and, very serious.
Very much so. Can we talk about your childhood and what music sounded like when you were a kid, the stuff you were listening to in London when you were growing up?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, my first love was the Beatles. I got to see them in 1963 at Hammersmith Odeon. My eldest sister, who I think was about 14 at the time, was a Beatlemaniac, And so as a special treat, the kids got taken to a Beatles Christmas concert at Hammersmith Odeon.
Wow.
And interestingly enough, I met Sir Paul McCartney the other day. He came to one of my shows in Southern California. And I mentioned to him this fact that I'd seen him at the Hammersmith Odeon, you know, that year. And he said, oh, yeah, well, we may have plugged it. And it was just fascinating to me that he didn't remember, you know, that date specifically. Yet to every Beatles fan, you've seen that long poster with the Beatles and Freddie and the Dreamers and Jerry and the Pacemakers on the bill.
Sure.
And so most Beatles fans know about that concert, but Paul had forgotten all about it.
So you grew up listening. Did you listen to radio at the time and a lot of the pop songs that were out there in the 60s?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was at boarding school, and after Lights Out, I used to go down my bed with a transistor radio and an earphone and listen to Radio Luxembourg and Radio Caroline.
Wow.
And, very often they would drift in and out. You know, Radio Caroline, as you probably know, was often broadcast from a pirate ship off the coast of eastern England. And but Luxembourg was an official radio station, you know, with a call sign and everything. And so those were really my staple growing up.
And what were some of your favorites? Do you remember buying your first records?
Well, I didn't buy albums until I think I was 11 or 12. The first two albums I bought, I remember one Christmas I got some cash and I had enough to buy two albums. And I went out and bought Elton John's Honky Chateau and Joni Mitchell's Blue.
Nice. Very nice. I can really relate to your transistor radio under the pillow story, because I used to do the exact same thing. A little AM radio with an earphone, and on good nights when the weather was crazy, I could pick up Chicago and Detroit and some of the other cities. I grew up in New York City, so it was just interesting to me to hear what was going on elsewhere, just like you, I guess.
Yeah.
When did you first start writing songs?
Well, I started writing bits and pieces from when I was about 15 or 16. I was in a band at school, initially as their roadie and then as their keyboard player. And I would write little themes, and sometimes they had words or sometimes not. But I don't think I wrote complete songs from start to finish till I was about 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time I was looking to work as a keyboard player professionally. I left school when I was 16, and I was working in a fruit and vegetable shop and really wanted to get a gig as a musician. And my first paying gig actually was with Bruce Woolley and the Camera Club. And so I toured the UK and the US with Bruce. And I respected him a lot. You know, he'd been around the business. He'd been in the Buggles, and he had a lot of songwriting experience. And, you know, the Buggles had a huge hit with Video Killed the Radio Star and so on. And so I learned a lot from that experience. But that was really when I started writing. And it was while I was on tour of the USA with Bruce, supporting Lena Lovitch, that I wrote a song for her called New Toy,
mm-hmm.
which she recorded and I co-produced with her and her husband. And became a big dance and college radio hit in the States. And so that was really what first gave me some momentum to start a solo career under my own name.
I did it for the weekend.
That's Lena Lovitch from 1981. And New Toy, a song written by Thomas Dolby and co-produced by him. This Sunday, 2 days from now, Thomas Dolby is coming to town. He will be appearing at Station 4 in St. Paul on Sunday, May 21st, 2006. How fabulous is that? Exactly. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past, beaming out worldwide from KFAI in Minneapolis. And this week, all Thomas Dolby, all the time. We have a lot of interview snippets. I have about 28 minutes worth of footage that Thomas Dolby was able to record with me on Monday, and I've chopped it up nicely, sprinkled it liberally throughout the show, and we'll be hearing a whole lot of Thomas Dolby music for the rest of the show. This is Crap from the Past from KFAI, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
When in Rome, do as the Romans do. But when in Scotland, keep your pants on.
On Crap from the Past.
I think, actually, I did some digging. The first songwriting credit I found from you was WW9 from the Bruce Woolley album from 79.
That was indeed the first recorded song that I had released.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And you were also mentioned as a member of the Fallout Club, except I don't know anything about them.
The Fallout Club was not really a band. It was a singer called Trevor Herrian. And rather a tragic story, actually. He was a little crazy. He was an Irish guy. In the She Blinded Me to Science video, in the montage where various deranged scientists are out in the back garden with their inventions, Trevor is the guy up on the roof with a kind of a jetpack refusing to come down.
Huh.
And ironically, he went completely off the deep end when he hit about 30, was arrested several times wandering around London wearing nothing but a raincoat, and finally committed suicide by jumping off a tall building.
No, that's no good. No. Around 1980, you recorded Urges in Leipzig with Andy Partridge from the band XTC. Was XTC big at the time?
XTC was pretty big. I can't remember if that was after XTC had stopped touring, but they've been heroes of mine. You know, I used to go to every pub in West London and watch them play. They were really the first band out of the punk era that had some intelligence and some musical accomplishment behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted nothing more than for Andy's then keyboard player, Barry Andrews, to like get hit by a tram or something. At the last minute at soundcheck, I would jump up on stage and say, well, actually, I know every one of your songs, so I think I'll stand in. In fact, when Barry finally left the band, they replaced him not with a keyboard player, but with another guitar player, Dave Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
But I've stayed, somewhat in touch with Andy over the years, and he helped me out by producing my first demos for Urges in Leipzig, and then he also helped me by playing harmonica on Europa and the Parrot Twins.
You. for the camels, some other got grappling. Their eyes were gone forever as they drove her away.
I'm going to get geeky for a second. On Europa, is that a live drummer playing?
Yes, it is a live drummer.
That's a live. I know the synth breaks and the hooks are all synthesizers, but that is a live drummer. Okay, because I was wondering how you got a drum machine to sound that good.
Now, okay. Many of the parts on that album are played by an actual band, you know, bass, drums, and guitar,
mm-hmm.
and then the keyboards are overdubbed. The more electronic sounding ones, like She Blinded Me to Science and One of Our Submarines and so on, I had a very early primitive sequencer that was actually designed to do Tangerine Dream's Light Show, and that's what I was using to play the drums on the drum machine songs.
From the point of view of the U.S., from a radio guy who would have been in radio at the time, you would have been packaged along with Duran Duran, for example. You were on the same label. There was even one 12-inch that went out to radio that had you on one side and Duran Duran on the other. So you were lumped in to radio, at least. You were lumped in with the new wave of singles, the synthesizer artists like the Soft Cells and the Eurythmics at the time, and all the others, the artists who you would quickly outgrow, sonically at least.
I mean, I never really followed fashions. And, you know, a lot of my contemporaries at the time were pinups, like Simon Le Bon or Adamant or Sting or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I was never exactly a panty melter myself. So I drew on the more academic side of my background. All of my family are teachers. My father was a professor of classical archaeology at Oxford University, and my mother was a math teacher. And so I had this sort of professorial side to my nature. And that's what I chose to highlight, really, in the video for She Blinded Me with Science. And I think it was because I was going against the grain, and it was so different from many of the British invasion bands at the time, that, you know, A, that it stuck out and I had a hit, and B, that it's had the longevity that it's had. And I'm delighted that, you know, my songs still get used these days in movies and commercials and so on.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
She blinded me with science. Doo-doo-doo.
She blinded me
with science.
Pretty good job, Con. I've never heard that song with only one note before.
Yeah, it's all about rhythm.
On Crap from the Past.
like that a lot. That's Radio Silence from Thomas Dolby. My friend Graham grew up in England, and he had his copy of the British pressing of the Golden Age of Wireless. And when I played that for him once, what's that? I've never heard that before, because apparently the British pressings contain a more electronic synthy version of Radio Silence. There were two versions that were recorded at about the same time. In England, the synthy version was released as the A side of a single. The version I just played was the B side of a single, if you wanted to hunt down the 45. For the American pressings of the album, the actual 12-inch record, they used the version I just played there, Radio Silence, for the Golden Age of Wireless. And strangely enough, here we'll get all geeky on ya. Really geeky. There are three instances that I know of from the mid-80s where an album, you know, comes out on 12-inch record, Life is Good. They re-release the exact same thing on CD, and it's got some kind of different version of one of the songs. The first one that I know of, Never by Heart from the Heart album from around 1984-85. They remixed it for the single. When it came time to put out the CD, you got the single version. That version without the keyboards and the overdubs, the only place to find that is on the 12-inch album. The second version I know of, or second song I know of, that has that particular instance, a song called Drag My Bad Name Down by the Irish group The Four of Us, who you've never heard of. Same deal. They remixed it for the single, and when it came time to put the thing out on CD, they used the single version. The third version, Radio Silence by Thomas Dolby. Oddly enough, when they put out the Golden Age of Wireless here in the U.S., they replaced the version you just heard with the synthy version, and that took a lot of people by surprise. And to this day, I think, as far as I know, you can't find that version I just played on CD anywhere. Except maybe there might be a German pressing of the Golden Age of Wireless that has it. Because there was a German pressing that had the little short single version of She Blinded Me with Science. So it might be on there. How's that for minutia? For those of you who care, I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past, beaming out worldwide from Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul. Radio without boundaries, online at kfai.org and crapfromthepast.com. Do you like this show? If you want to hear more of, you know, if you want to download a copy of this show, go to crapfromthepast.com. By the time the end of the weekend rolls around, you'll be able to download it. You can put it on your MP3 player. Life will be good for you. And this week, in case you're just tuning in, if you've never heard this show before, you're in for quite a treat, because this is like pop. It's pop music for people who already know plenty about pop music. It's like a graduate level course in pop. And this week, all Thomas Dolby, All the Time, which we usually don't do here on Crap from the Past, but Thomas Dolby's coming to town. Oh my God, I'm so happy. He's coming to Station 4. It's a club in downtown St. Paul, and he's going to be here Sunday, May 21st. That's 2 days from tonight. You have 2 days to prepare for this. He's coming to town, and he's going to be putting on a one-man show. He'll be talking a little bit more about the show itself and some of the interview snippets I have coming up later on. So what I did is I got a hold of Thomas Dolby in Chicago. I called him. He was in Chicago at the time this past Monday, and he gave me about a half hour on the phone, which was very generous of him. And rather than just run the thing start to finish and have a half hour talking, I cut it into little segments, and we've been hearing the segments all throughout the evening tonight. Like it? So do I. Let's continue. More Thomas Dolby on Crap from the Past.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
I dig you. You are really cool.
On Crap from the Past.
Can I spend a couple minutes on the Golden Age of Wireless? I'm almost 10 years younger than you to the week. So when She Blinded Me with Science broke big, you had a whole generation of 15-year-olds walking around saying science. And so I hunted down the single and the album. And I was very pleasantly surprised to find that the album, much more introspective and less novelty shtick value than She Blinded Me with Science, the single. I know there were three different releases of the album, and I'm not going to go into specifics, but whose idea was it to have you record extra songs and append them onto the original Golden Age of Wireless?
Well, the Golden Age of Wireless had basically come and gone, and I was recording a couple of new songs because MTV was just starting to hit, and my record company, after not having succeeded in really breaking me with the initial release of the album, they felt that maybe MTV was the way to go. So they wanted me to record a couple of new songs. And when they put out an EP with Science and Submarines and three songs off the Golden Age of Wireless, and went very high in the Billboard chart as what was then called a mini LP.
Right.
And after that success, they decided to repackage the Golden Age of Wireless take Urges in Leipzig off and put She Blinded Me to Science and One of Our Submarines on. And it went out to be a gold album.
At that point, I want to know the context in which you gave the new tracks to Capitol or to Harvest or to the UK subsidiary. Did you go out and consciously decide to record a novelty song that would be a giant hit?
It wasn't a conscious thing, really. I was getting into club music more, and it was certainly the funkiest thing that I'd done.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, the context was not really a deliberate effort to have a mainstream commercial success. In fact, I never really viewed myself as a mainstream artist. Many of the heroes I grew up with were never anywhere near the singles charts. People like Captain Beefheart or Frank Zappa or Joni Mitchell or every A&R executive's nightmare. But in those days, the music industry was naive enough that they would use the commercial hits they had with pop artists to sort of underwrite their ongoing development of album artists like the ones that I mentioned. And I really saw myself in that vein. I never really saw myself as somebody that would be in the singles chart. So it was definitely an anomaly when it happened.
Thomas Dolby and one of our submarines. Pop artist, British pop artist Nick Kershaw actually paid an homage to one of our submarines and called one of the B-sides to his singles One of Our Fruit Machines Is Missing. It actually had nothing to do with the song, but I thought, oh, I had a nice little tip of the hat there from one Brit to another. Thomas Dolby and one of our submarines. One of two songs that ended up, they were recorded by Thomas Dolby after the golden age of wireless had pretty much run its course. He gave them to EMI in England, and they thought, you know, we should do something with this. Let's stick them on a mini album. And those two, plus three songs from the golden age of wireless, extended a little bit and put out as the mini LP Blinded by Science, which came out here in the States on Harvest. At the very same time, Harvest was also experimenting with a mini LP with another British group, Duran Duran, and put out the album Carnival, which was also on Harvest, also a mini LP, also grazed the bottom of the pop charts. And there's a 12-inch in existence, which I have at home, if you collectors want to hunt this down. It's a promo that went out to radio stations put out by Harvest with two songs on, well, it's one side of it has two songs from Thomas Dolby. It's got the extended version of Flying North and the extended version of Wind Power. And the other version, other side, Duran Duran and the extended version of Rio, taken from Carnival. Neat. Never seen it in any catalogs. There. Let the bidding begin. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past, beaming out worldwide on KFAI from Minneapolis, St. Paul. We have a bunch of affiliates all over the world, including a bunch in the Phoenix area, a couple of online radio stations, and one affiliate, Gold Rush Radio, in New Zealand. And we're just so happy to be there. All over the world, all at once. How fabulous is that? I'm just excited because Thomas Dolby was able to talk to me on the phone for about a half hour earlier in the week. And that's what you're hearing tonight. I've cut it up into little pieces and it's airing throughout the show. After Blinded by Science, they decided, let's try the Golden Age of Wireless again. And they took the two new tracks, put those on the Golden Age of Wireless, re-released it. And then She Blinded Me with Science turned into a top five hit and the album sold pretty well. After that album once again ran its course, Thomas was still recording dancey stuff. He was getting into the funk, which is kind of fun. And there's one particular track that I'll be playing shortly called Get Out of My Mix, which is sort of just a collection of samples and hooks and vocal ticks and little synth breaks, all from the golden age of wireless. He basically took all the hooks from the album, squished them together, and recorded what has since become a breakdance classic. I know, as absurd as those words seem together, breakdance classic, you'll be hearing Get Out of My Mix as billed to Dolby's Cube on Crap from the Past. I should also mention Thomas Dolby coming to town two nights from now. He'll be playing at Station 4 in downtown St. Paul, Sunday, May 21st. Thomas Dolby on Crap from the Past.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
In fact, he did a pretty good job for a guy who stands about 5'7" and weighs maybe 140 pounds.
On Crap from the Past.
Do you want to talk about a little bit how the recording techniques have changed over the years? Because sequencing and MIDI and all that stuff was not really quite mature when you recorded a lot of the stuff in 1981.
Well, technologies over the years, when I started out, there were no off-the-shelf technologies that would really allow me to do what I needed to do. So you had to be good with a soldering iron. You know, you couldn't hook up a sequencer to a synthesizer very easily unless it was from the same manufacturer. So you had to be fairly clever about it. And in fact, the machine that I used to play the drums was originally a disco lighting console and was designed to turn, you know, flashing red and green lights on and off. And I adapted it to play my drums for me. Over the years, of course, a lot changed. In the 80s, personal computers came in, and with them music software that made things a lot simpler. There were very expensive one-off machines like the Fairlight and the Synclavier, and I was lucky enough to get one of the first Fairlights in the UK. I think numbers one and two went to Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush. And because they were so expensive, I mean, it was like $120,000, I think, for that box. Very few people could afford them, and so we felt like pioneers because we were the first ones to be, you know, playing whole tunes with barking dogs and things like that. But over the years, all of that technology came down to street level to the point where, you know, for a couple of $100 and a laptop these days, you have a machine that's way more powerful than what I recorded my first two albums with. Okay.
mix. Get out of my mix. Get on out of my mix. Get out of my mix. Get on out of my mix. Get out of my mix.
Get out of my mix. Build to Dolby's Cube, and that's Thomas Dolby twiddling the knobs. And it's a throwaway song, but it's got a real catchy beat, and it uses a whole lot of samples from the golden age of wireless, just sprinkled liberally throughout the song, and it has become a breakdance classic. I'm nodding with approval. That's right. Breakdance classic is totally okay with me. Who am I? I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past. That's right. A whole lot of pop music you haven't heard on the air in a long time. Beaming out worldwide from KFAI FM here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And Thomas Dolby's coming to town. That's right. He's going to be right here in Minneapolis, St. Paul on Sunday, May 21st, 2006. I say 2006 because you're probably listening to this show sometime in the distant future. He's coming to town. He'll be playing Sunday, May 21st at Station 4. That's a club in downtown St. Paul. And I will be there. That's what I'm going to tell you. I will be there, and I am so happy. This will mark the third time that I've seen Thomas Dolby. Third time. I saw him in, I got the ticket stub right here. I saw him at the Ritz in New York City on Saturday, June 11th, 1988, to support the Aliens Ate My Buick tour. That was fantastic. Even more fantastic, shortly after that, he came to the University of Rochester on what was sort of like an educational speaking tour, where he brought along some of his MIDI keyboards and showed us how he composes, basically. It wasn't a performance, really. It was more of a lecture saying, well, this is what you can do, and this is how I do things. And he built up the entire arrangement to Wind Power right before our very eyes. I thought, that's pretty cool. And so what, 17 years later, I get to see him again. He's at the top of his game, and he's putting on yet another one-man show. Should be fantastic. Now, when he came through Rochester, I was just a college student, and I managed to grab a microphone and a Walkman, and I was at a CD signing at Compact Disc Exchange, and I don't even know if the place is still there now, but I had the chutzpah to walk up to him and say, can you read this? And he did. Listen to what I got.
Hello there, this is Thomas Dolby, and you're listening to WRUR 88.5 FM, Rochester.
He was a good sport about that. And then I got this one.
Hello there, this is Thomas Dolby, and you're listening to WRUR 640 AM, Rochester.
And there was much laughter in the place. I cut out the laughter. Thank you, Thomas Dolby, for touring. I appreciate, after all these years, getting back into the swing of things. I am looking so forward to seeing you on Sunday night. Thomas Dolby coming to town on Sunday, May 21st. And because of that, we're all Thomas Dolby all the time tonight. Right here on Crap from the Past.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
Wow, you can't find this stuff anywhere. Seals and Crofts, Pablo Cruz, Air Supply, whoa, Loggins and Oates.
I've never heard of these bands, Mom. What kind of music do they play?
Swiss rock?
No. Crap rock? That's it.
On Crap from the Past.
You're coming to Minneapolis on Sunday, May 21st. And you'll be here. You'll be playing at Station 4, which is a...
Station 4, which I guess is a club downtown?
Downtown in St. Paul. And it's in... St. Paul is about 15 miles east of Minneapolis, and we're like Oakland and San Francisco right next to each other. But you're coming, and I hear it's going to be a one-man show?
Yeah, and it's a revival of the one-man show that I started out with in the late 70s. I grew up in London and around Europe, and the musical roots for me really were the electronic underground scene in London in the late 70s. People like myself and Throbbing Gristle and Cabaret Voltaire, and then also Soft Cell and the Human League and a couple of others that went on to be very successful commercially that came out of that era. And I'm reviving that one-man show now. I'm playing some of the same material I played back then and some more recent material. And it's a lot of fun to watch on stage because I build up a lot of the tracks from nothing. So I'll start with just, you know, a percussion loop and add some drums and some bass and guitar and keyboard parts. And once the groove is going, I sing over the top.
Nice. You did a tour like this. I don't know how much of a tour it was, but you came through the University of Rochester in Rochester, New York in around 1989. And you did something very similar to this.
Yeah. When I, as I recall, when I came through in 89, it was actually giving a lecture at the university. And there I was explaining, you know, from the ground up all about the stuff that I was doing. This is more of a performance.
Oh, good.
It's definitely more of a musical concert. But I do, you know, rap a lot between numbers in terms of, you know, talking to the audience. And you can watch what I'm doing as I build these things. Because I have a head-mounted camera that was actually designed originally for the U.S. military to do synchronized building entries in the Gulf. And I'm using it for more peaceable. And so you can see projected behind me on a giant screen my point of view as I twiddle all the knobs.
Very nice. I'm looking forward to it immensely. Will you be signing autographs and all that stuff afterwards?
Well, we have a system, which is that, you know, we have a stall with T-shirts and posters. And there are a number of magic tickets on the receipt. So if you buy something at the stall, then you're in a kind of a lottery to come back and see me and do a meet and greet afterwards.
Okay. If I bring my copy of the Armageddon record single Urges in Leipzig, does that get me backstage?
You know, if you do come backstage on the magic ticket, I will definitely autograph it.
Okay.
So that there's huge advantages to all of that technology becoming widespread. I guess the only disadvantage is that, you know, there's 10,000 other bands out there that you have to compete with. But overall, I think that's a good trade-off because I think that in those days it was very elitist. And like I say, there were a handful of us doing it and a handful of record company executives that got to decide what the public did and didn't hear. And I'm much more into the democratic system that we have now and from now going forward, where the barrier to entry is very low. Anybody can make a record, and anybody can get it distributed, you know, via the internet. And hopefully the cream will float to the surface.
Hopefully people will still remember how to write songs. I hear a lot of modern productions, and the productions themselves are fantastic, but the songwriting seems to be lacking in a lot of these songs that I hear.
Yeah, and you have to question what the longevity will be as soon as they're no longer flavor of the month, but they're still going to get played.
And 25 years later, we're still playing Golden Age of Wireless.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
I met Ron that night and immediately thought him handsome, kind, and considerate.
On Crap from the Past.
The music you've released in the U.S. over the years has come out on 7 different record labels. There's Columbia with the Bruce Woolley and the Camera Club stuff, Armageddon, Harvest, Capitol, MCA, Virgin, Manhattan, and Giant. 7 labels. Well, 8 if you count the one with Bruce Woolley. And that's actually more than the Beatles here in the U.S. How much control do you as an artist have over your music nowadays?
Well, nowadays I have total control over my music. But back in those days, you went pretty much wherever the corporate stepladder, you know, left you. Companies were always swallowing each other up, and distribution deals were being done in different territories. And, you know, it often seemed like selling my music was just like selling soap powder to them. And certainly after I had a mainstream hit or two, which you know, made a lot of money for them, they were incredulous that I would want to do anything other than just distill that formula and keep churning out the hits. And that was a big reason that in the early 90s, I quit the business. And I thought I needed a couple of years off to recharge my batteries.
Sure.
And I'd always had a hand in technology, and I was fascinated by what was going on in Silicon Valley with the beginnings of the internet and so on. And so I went up there, and I consulted with some big companies, but I also formed a little company of my own, Beatnik, which went on to be very successful. We just about managed to ride out the dot-com boom and bust, and then we struck it rich because Nokia came along and licensed our technology for their cell phones to do ringtones.
Great.
And since Nokia is the world leader, all of the top manufacturers in the world have since licensed Beatnik. And it's now in over half the world's cell phones, which is quite a lot of cell phones. It's poetry in motion. He turned his tender eyes to me. As deep as any ocean. As sweet as any harmony. But he blinded me with science. He blinded me with science. And veiled me in biology. Yeah.
That's Melissa Lefton. Never heard of her? That's okay. Nobody has. Melissa Lefton from 2002 and a tragic reworking of Thomas Dolby's She Blinded Me With Science. He Blinded Me With Science. Isn't that fabulous? Yeah, it's possible to wreck a perfectly good song, and that's how you do it. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past, beaming out worldwide from Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul, radio without boundaries, online at kfai.org and crapfromthepast.com. If you missed one of the Crap from the Past shows, let's say this one, you can go to crapfromthepast.com and download any show we've ever done. This show is over 14 years old, And I have every single one of those shows available for you for downloading if you want to walk around with it or drive around with it on your MP3 player, all that good stuff. It actually cracks me up to think that people might be working out to Crap from the Past. I love it so. But this week, very important, gotta tell you, Thomas Dolby's coming to town. That's right, Thomas Dolby in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's crazy, but it's true, and it's happening Sunday, May 21st. He's coming to Station 4. It's a club in downtown St. Paul. That's 2 days from now. Incredible. And you just heard that tragic Melissa Lefton version of He Blinded Me with Science. It's possible to ruin a perfectly good song, and you can do it 20 years after it was recorded. You can also do it within a year after it was recorded. In the early 80s, there was a, well, I'm not really sure the history of this act, even if it is a recording act, but I have a Brazilian album of cover versions. It's knockoffs of the hits, and it's all credited to Video Game Group. I have no idea who or what Video Game Group is, but if you thought that the synth arrangements on She Blinded Me with Science were no big deal, here, just it's very possible. Well, I want you to contrast it with this, which is just a synth arrangement, but boy, it ruins a song, and it shows that Thomas Dolby had quite a bit going in his arrangement of She Blinded Me with Science. Listen to this inept knockoff by Video Game Group on Crap from the Past.
As a noted scientist, it would be surprising if a girl blinded me with science.
I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past, beaming out worldwide from KFAI here in Minneapolis. And we're talking with Thomas Dolby, that very Thomas Dolby who did She Blinded Me with Science in 1983, coming to town Sunday, May 21st. He'll be here and in Minneapolis, St. Paul at Station 4. That's 2 days from now. Well, this show that we're talking now is going to air on Friday. So we're recording it on Monday. I'll be able to edit it out a little bit. And you, Mr. Dolby, are getting 90 minutes on my show. The entire show is going to be devoted to you and your music and everything else you've done over the years.
Well, in that case, I feel I should give you a few more minutes.
So you... Oh, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
I want to talk about two people before just as sort of a... I'll kick myself if I don't ask you about George Clinton and Bill Bottrell.
Yeah, interesting choice. Well, I met George backstage at Saturday Night Live when we were both on performing the same week. And, you know, I was amazed to find that he knew all about my music and he was very impressed with the grooves and the ideas, and we just instantly hit it off. So he invited me down to Miami, Florida, where he was recording an album called Some of My Best Jokes Are Friends. And I co-produced a couple of songs on the album with him and did a little guest rap. And later on, he invited me to come and perform with the P-Funk All-Stars for a James Brown testimonial concert in Washington, D.C. And it was in a big shed with about 10,000 people at the Black Music Convention. And I was one of the only white guys there. And I got up on stage to perform Sex Machine with the P-Funk All-Stars. And as I walked on stage, who was in the front row but James Brown himself? So I realized I was never going to out James. And so I immediately adopted my best Oxford accent and went into this sort of very English, get up, get on up, stay on the like a sex machine. And it brought the house down. And, you know, I made a lot of friends.
That's great. And you eventually recorded a George Clinton song yourself. You did Hot Sauce on...
Recorded Hot Sauce on my album, Aliens Ate My Buick, and I've stayed friends with George over the years, and we even did a record together, Dolby's Cube, May the Cube Be With You.
May the Cube be with you!
Till you get it all, I would give it to you, baby, the love.
It's Bildis Dolby's Cube, yet another Thomas Dolby composition that's May the Cube be with you. And I played it off my little 45 there, and this is where it fades. It doesn't go on for another 2 minutes like it does on the album. Thomas Dolby coming to Minneapolis, St. Paul. On Sunday, May 21st, he'll be playing at Station 4 in downtown St. Paul. And we're celebrating all Thomas Dolby all the time this week on Crap from the Past. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. Crap from the Past beams out worldwide from KFAI, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
KFAI.
Why the name Dolby's Cube?
I just felt it needed to be something a little bit different from my own name, and so I'd put more of a band's name together.
Okay. And you did the Howard the Duck soundtrack under the name Dolby's Cube also.
Yeah. You know, for Howard the Duck, I'd trained some actresses to be a rock band, including Leah Thompson and Holly Robinson, who both became big TV stars after that. But when we put out the album, I did it under the name Dolby's Cube.
Who's actually singing on the song Howard the Duck?
That is Leah Thompson and Holly Robinson.
You ain't got the class, boy. You ain't in his league. So don't try to tell me that you got the things that I need. This guy's original. He's got the juice. Well, hey, look out, world. A duck is on the loose right here.
Monster Gerber.
She blinded me with science.
On Crap from the Past.
Let's talk about Bill Bottrell. Your first two albums on Capitol, Golden Age of Wireless and The Flat Earth, both produced for the most part by you. When it came time to record the third solo album, you hooked up with Bill Bottrell, and he got co-production credit for the entire album. Tell me how, who was he at the time? Was he well-known, and what was it like working with him?
Yeah, well, when I first moved to the USA in the late 80s, I formed a band called Lost Toy People, and I started writing new material, and we went around clubs, mainly on the West Coast, playing the songs to audiences. And so we already had a pretty good arrangement of the songs before we ever got into the studio to record them. So I needed to find an engineer who was able to really capture the energy of Lost Toy People and get it down on tape. And Bill Bottrell's name was out there. You know, it was at a time when many productions in L.A. were very overblown, in my opinion, and had lots of echoes and reverbs and effects all over everything, a rather homogenized sort of 80s sound. And Bill was really a purist. He liked the raw sound of instruments, and very often his technique was to just stick a good mic up to a good instrument and record it flat and get it down, you know, sounding natural the way it was. And he's really the first guy in the 90s to sort of bring the sound around to a drier and more natural organic sound.
The sound on Aliens Ate My Buick, it's actual instruments being played by actual people. That's a refreshing change from some of the other stuff that was out at the time.
A lot of audiophiles and engineers play my song Pulp Culture to test out their speaker systems.
Nice.
A lot of engineers have said to me, God, how did you guys get that snare sound? I said, well, we picked a good sounding snare, and we picked a good sounding mic, we put them out in the studio, and we hit the snare several times until we got a good hit. And then we took that one hit and put it all the way through the song, and that's it. No EQ, no effects, nothing.
Was most of the album recorded that way? Or did you actually go ahead and play live and then chop the bits and pieces up to get a full song out of it?
Yeah, I took the whole band into the studio and we recorded stuff live, and then, you know, we went back to the drawing board and took chunks of it and moved them around, and some of it I sequenced. And so it was really the best of both worlds, the live sound of a band plus sequenced audio as well.
Yeah, Bill Bottrell went on to work with Michael Jackson. He did Black or White. He did Tuesday Night Music Club for Sheryl Crow. And he did Toy Matinee, which is one of my favorite albums that you've never heard of, from 1990. So I'm a big fan of the names you've worked with over the years.
Well, thank you.
Jewels to wear.
The little short 45 version of Airhead. It sounds all scratchy. Yeah, Airhead from Thomas Dolby. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is all Thomas Dolby all the time this week on Crap from the Past, because Thomas Dolby's coming to town two nights from now. Sunday, May 21st, 2006, he's going to be at Station 4 in downtown St. Paul. I'm so happy! And Thomas Dolby was kind enough to spend a half hour on the phone with me earlier in the week. And rather than just run it as a big half-hour block, I cut it up into little pieces, and that's what you've been hearing tonight. In 1983, 1984, at the height of Thomas Dolby's popularity, it also happened to coincide with the popularity of American Top 40, or the peak in popularity. AT40, hosted by Casey Kasem, counting down the biggest hits in the country, spawned a parody in 1984, which aired nationwide on Labor Day, 1984. Somehow, suburban New York City, I was able to pick up DC 101, no, KC 101 in Hartford, Connecticut, and managed to tape, not the American Top 40. So it sounds all, well, crappy, but there's a 30-second block that's apropos, and that's what I shall play here on Crap from the Past.
Not the American Top 40.
Coming up, my special report on a song that was first recorded way back in 1878. Here's the original version by Thomas Dolby Edison from his smash LP, She Blinded Me with Light Bulbs.
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeps as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Details coming up right after this.
KCEC.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
He puts out the dope you want to know.
On Crap from the Past.
Do you have any clout with Capitol Records? Is there any way you could possibly get like a 25th anniversary re-release of the Golden Age with all the extra tracks that have been so hard to hunt down over the years?
Well, actually, EMI Records in the UK, that was the first label I signed to, have been talking about releasing a DVD now with everything in it. So that hopefully would bring together all of my catalog, including the Harder to Get one.
That would be great. That would sell pretty well here in the US, I would think.
I hope so.
Amongst the gods, but jealous men have pulled me down. Now exiled in a foreign land, I coax my demons into life, while people cross themselves and say, the devil is an Englishman. Beelzebub in human form, the nobleman. Young girls fall pleading at my feet as I defile them one by one, devouring half of London town. The devil is an Englishman. The devil is an Englishman. A nest of tiny scorpion. A breeding in my cranium. Is an Englishman.
The devil is an Englishman.
Is there no escape in this madhouse?
It's here, it's too late, there's no time.
Leeches suck upon the flesh of those who trek beyond the grave. This dark, tormented soul lives on. The devil is an Englishman. A nest of tiny scorpions.
A nest of tiny scorpions.
A breeding in my cranium.
A breeding in my cranium.
Poet laureate of hell.
Poet laureate of hell.
The devil is an Englishman.
Scorpion!
Nest of tiny scorpion!
Nest of tiny scorpion!
Devil is an Englishman. Thomas Dolby did the soundtrack to the movie Gothic, and that was a single released from the soundtrack of the movie Gothic. That's Screaming Lord Byron doing the vocals on The Devil is an Englishman. Fabulous. Here, I must play this.
Yeah. Once again, we have MOVB. Yeah.
Oh, my. If you're new to Crap from the Past, we have a regular feature here called New Stuff Ripping Off Old Stuff. And boy, does this qualify. This is a song from April 2004 called Got It Twisted. Ugh. It's credited to Mobb Deep. That's right, Mobb Deep. Oddly enough, Mobb Deep is appearing here in Minneapolis live tonight. It's very strange. But Thomas Dolby himself, you recognize the hook from She Blinded Me With Science, of course. Thomas Dolby coming to town Sunday, May 21st at Station 4, a club in downtown St. Paul. And oddly enough, Britney Spears' husband, whose name I can't remember, and by the time you hear this show, you won't remember it either, sampled Got It Twisted without getting the rights from Thomas Dolby, and now nobody likes him. I'm sure nobody liked him anyway, but pissing off Thomas Dolby probably doesn't help. Anyway, Thomas Dolby coming to town. What you've been hearing tonight, Thomas Dolby pre-recorded with me. He spent a half hour on the phone with me a couple days ago. We cut it up, and I have one little segment left. And after that, I'm going to play you a song called Eastern Bloc from the Astronauts and Heretics album from 1992. That's billed as a sequel to Europa and the Pirate Twins. If you've never heard it, it's kind of cool. One more talk break left, and then we're done. This is Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, 106.7 FM St. Paul. Radio without boundaries. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. Thank you, Thomas Dolby. We look forward to seeing you in two nights here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And thanks for spending the time on the phone with me. I really do appreciate it. I'm Crap from the Past. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past, beaming out worldwide from KFAI. And actually, Thomas, we have we used to have an affiliate in Northwest England, halfway between Manchester and Liverpool. It was a community station up there, and they used to run Crap from the Past from Minneapolis, which I thought was pretty neat. To this day, we have about 7 affiliates. We have a couple in the Phoenix area. We have a couple of online radio stations and one in New Zealand, which is pretty neat. So,
wow.
It's nice. In the radio world, I'm still a nobody, but I have my integrity, and I haven't sold out yet. And I take pop music very seriously. And I really do appreciate the time you've spent with me. Thomas Dolby coming to Minneapolis Sunday, May 21st, if you haven't heard. Sunday, May 21st, and he's playing Station 4 in St. Paul. There's more information online at station-4.com.